Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Andrew Fitz on behalf of the State of Washington, appearing today on behalf of all petitioners. I'm going to speak on the NWP merits for 10 minutes. Mr. Hartman will take 5 minutes of opening argument. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. Your Honors, on January 29th last year, the administration announced, quote, the administration's decision not to proceed with the Yucca Mountain Nuclear Waste Repository. Starting the next business day, a Monday, the respondents began terminating or abandoning every aspect of the Yucca Mountain project. But the NWPA is a unique statute in response to a very unique problem. And the January 29th decision conflicts with the NWPA on two levels. First, on a broader level, the NWPA does not give the respondents authority or discretion to terminate the only repository site they are authorized by law to work on. Second, on a more specific level, the specific licensing provisions of the NWPA prevent license withdrawal. They commit both the Department of Energy and the NRC to reach a decision on the merits of DOE's license
application. You name the NRC as a party in this case. What have they done that we could find erroneous and take action against that would right some wrong that gives you standing?
Your Honors, we named the NRC in an abundance of caution because it was clear on January 29th that this process, which was going to involve the NRC at some level, was going to implicate them.
Do you understand we have to have standing, we have to have rightness? For standing, you have to have causation of a wrong to your party by the respondent that we can remedy in this proceeding. Now, what is it that NRC has done that you allege caused harm to your parties that we can remedy in this proceeding?
Your Honor, my best answer to that is that in our seeking of declaratory relief and for the mandamus petitioners, mandamus, it was clear at that point that an action was being was going to be put before the NRC, and we wanted, as we believe, we have a provision in the Nuclear Waste Policy Act allowing us to come to this court directly, and we wanted to shortcut that process in advance.
Does that sound like the sort of thing that gives us Article III jurisdiction under the standing and ripeness doctrines, counsel?
Well, Your Honor, based on some of the colloquies this morning, I think you've already formed an opinion in that regard. The bottom line is if the administration doesn't like the choices Congress has made in law, its solution is to go to Congress. But the NWPA does not provide an avenue to simply opt out of the entire statutory process. I'm going to turn first to the broader merits of the NWPA.
Can I ask one question before that, which is the NRC could tomorrow, next week, reject the withdrawal motion application, right? And then your problem would be solved, at least temporarily, and therefore why shouldn't we wait for the NRC to act? Now, I recognize your frustration and maybe your concern that they won't act promptly, but they could act any time on this.
I think the key to your question is that, first of all, we have two different claims. And on the broader claim, which suggests that there simply is not discretion to terminate the entire process, the Department of Energy's position on
that's
the merits here.
Yeah,
that's what the commission could say.
Yeah, the NRC could say that.
But we're
back to why the NRC should even be, why you have any kind of case against the NRC. They haven't done anything that I can find in your brief that shows causation of harm, remedial in this action. And when I asked you about it a while ago, your best answer seemed to be, Your Honor, you've already made your mind up about that. That's not a very good answer, counsel. But.
Your Honor, with respect to finality and the NRC, the respondent's position is that this is the Secretary's prerogative to make this decision. And it's the Secretary's prerogative to withdraw from the process, and the NRC cannot second-guess that decision. That the only role for the NRC is
to decide. I don't think they said that, actually. We'll ask them, but I didn't think that was the position of, obviously, we have two agencies involved here, and one independent and one executive, so it gets confusing. But I didn't understand it to be their position that the NRC had no ability to reject the license withdrawal application?
If you go back to the announcement on January 29th, it announced the administration's decision to not proceed with Yucca Mountain. The next day, they filed a motion for stay before the NRC in which they said, we will withdraw from the process. We will separately provide a motion in which we will ask for the terms of the withdrawal, which I think by their argument is the only realm in which the NRC can exercise authority on the withdrawal matter.
That said, and I'm being a bit narrower than my questioning than my colleague, why should we not dismiss at least this to NRC? Because I've given you every chance in the world beyond briefing now to tell us what it is that you say is an action by this respondent causing harm to your client that is remedial in this action. And I have not yet received any kind of answer to that.
Your Honor, we looked at the process as a whole, and although we think the decision is the decision made on January 29th, which is final both
Who
with
made
respect
that decision?
To it appears that it was the Secretary of Energy at
Did
the
NRC
direction
make
of,
any decision on that day?
I do not believe NRC had a role in that decision.
Okay. Why shouldn't we dismiss this to NRC? I'm not asking you to throw out your whole lawsuit, but I've read your brief more than once. I've questioned you on this subject more than once, and I have yet to come across what it is you're saying NRC has done to you that we can do anything about in this action.
Your Honor, I will concede that under the public citizen case where we filed petitions that named the NRC, but the NRC has not yet acted, that may have been premature.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, could I ask you, because the board did make a decision, I think, on this motion to withdraw. They denied it, correct? So doesn't that leave a decision pending before the NRC?
The matter of whether or not to grant DOE's motion to withdraw, whatever that may entail, is still pending before the commission. But our position is that the agency action that's relevant for coming to this court under the specific provision of Section 119 was the decision made by the Secretary at the direction of the President on January 29th. That every step after that, telling Nevada, we don't intend to pursue water rights, eliminating an administrative program, and going to the NRC and requesting withdrawal was merely the execution of that final decision made on January 29th.
I'm sorry. That decision, you know, is buttressed on the withdrawal of their licensing application, correct?
I think actually that decision goes far beyond just the license application.
I understand that you're saying they've done more than that, but whether they can continue down that road depends on whether or not their attempt to withdraw their license application is granted.
I think in, pardon me, in terms of practice, that's certainly not the way they've acted. They've been a one-way track ever since January 29th. And I think their position on the merits, again, the implication, when you look at their merits argument versus the finality argument, is that this is the Secretary's decision. And under the framework of Section 114, there are separate commands on the Department of Energy and NRC. DOE is required to submit a license application. We argue that's non-discretionary, which they did. The NRC is commanded to reach a final decision approving or disapproving issuance of construction authorization. But nothing in the statute tells NRC it has the authority to enforce against DOE, DOE's obligations under the statute. That's the job of this court.
We don't know yet that DOE would ignore a decision of the NRC. They may, in which case I'm sure we would be back here. But we don't know yet that they will do that, do we?
We've seen every action in practice indicating that. The ASLB decision on June 29th was not even a speed bump for DOE.
Right, but chest thumping gets a little different after you have an order from an independent agency ordering you to do something. Ignoring that seems a little bit different than some of the statements you've included in your filings from DOE.
But again, Your Honor, I think the key is looking at what is the relevant action for this court's review. The relevant action is the decision made by the Secretary. Mm-hmm. And the Secretary's perspective on this is that it's my decision on whether I maintain a license application. Their position on the merits is that they are the same as a voluntary applicant.
That's the merits argument. And what we're trying to get at here is the ripeness and finality part of this.
Yeah.
When you get to the merits, that's a different argument. But the question is, what action by this department is the final action that we're supposed to review.
It's the decision made on January 29th that Yucca Mountain is no longer a workable option and will no longer be pursued.
What is the means of existence of that decision? Is there an order or an opinion that we can review on that?
There are two things on January 29th. There was a press release in which the quote I began.
Do you think we can review a press release?
I think it can constitute agency action if it's final. I do, under the CropLife case specifically.
We can review a press release as final agency action.
I would rely on the CropLife case, where it's the totality of the circumstances. We had that announcement.
Is that a press release?
It was a press release. It was, yes. Followed by, and in that case, we actually didn't have concrete.
You're going followed by?
Well, in our case, we have the press release followed the next business day by filing a motion with a motion to stay the ASLB proceeding.
Now that's involved in the proceedings that lead to the point that is still ongoing before NRC, right?
And then, Your Honor.
Right, so that's not final agency action. That's not, in fact, the filing of a motion. I question whether that could ever be final agency action until it's ruled on by somebody.
Your Honor, we're not saying that the motion itself is final agency action. We're saying that that's evidence that the
Maybe
announcement made on the
20th. They're going, but we're not supposed to review things until they get there. And saying that they have got there is going to require some kind of final agency decision. We have to have finality. We have to have rightness. We have to have standing. We're an Article III court, and it may be difficult to find those things here.
I do believe they exist. I think that it's not a matter of them waiting for the NRC. They've already gone there. And the NRC process.
They lost there so far.
They've lost there so far, and they've shown no adherence to that decision.
Well, because it's not final.
Yeah. Well, and I question whether the process before the NRC will ever become final, because they're terminating their own withdrawal.
There is a good,
that's true enough, but then you can file a mandamus petition compelling the NRC to act if it delays unreasonably. I think we grant those on occasion, and agencies usually act pretty quickly.
Your Honor,
sometimes they act just when it's filed and we ask for a response, then the agency action appears, and that could happen in this case too.
Well, Your Honors, I would ask that you review this issue in the unique context of Section 119. There is a 180-day period for us to file based on an action of or a final decision of the Secretary. And I have a high degree of confidence that if we wait until the NRC does something, if it does anything, that when we file at that point, the respondents may come back and say, actually, that decision was made back in January 29th of 2010.
Wouldn't you think they'd have a rather hard time convincing us that was a final decision if the ruling authority had not ruled yet at that point?
I don't think that their premise on January 29th was that they needed the NRC's permission. That's the key. And they proceeded on that assumption.
Did they make a motion to withdraw their application?
They did.
Yeah.
But in that decision, they maintained that the only matter before the NRC was whether to condition their withdrawal with prejudice, which doesn't go to the issue of whether they can withdraw. And that's the key here. What is before the NRC is only a small slice of the issue. And the actual decision and everything set in course was made back on January 29th.
You said at one point maybe the NRC will not decide. If they fail to decide, I mean, one argument that you make a little bit in your brief but don't really follow through is that inaction might in fact be final agency action. So if the NRC in fact does not rule on this pending decision, could you make the argument that that in fact is final agency action?
I think we could. I think it would be a separate final agency action in effect, but I don't think that that takes away from the fact that we already have a final agency action that is ripe for review by this court under Section 119. Your Honors, I'm close to running out of time on my opening. I just want to make the following points on the merits. The NWPA is a comprehensive scheme that directs the Secretary on a step-by-step process to look at only one repository site. To the extent that the statute has told the Secretary to have an orderly closeout of review of any other site, it's the only site the Secretary is authorized by law to consider and work on that's the very repository being rejected. There simply isn't room for the secretary to exercise that discretion. The respondents argue that the secretary has unfettered termination discretion at this point in the process. That doesn't jibe with the very specific grant of termination authority in Section 113C3, which has limits. It was only to characterization activities and didn't finally foreclose the site.
Is there any basis on which DOE could ever withdraw?
I don't believe there is. I think that DOE could go to the NRC through whatever procedural mechanism might be available in that proceeding and say to the NRC, this issue reaches the merits of our application. We think you should disapprove the application based on this information. But the key is it's the NRC's decision under the statute.
Thank you, Your Honor. We'll hear from the other counsel for petitioners.
May it please the court. My name is Barry Hartman. I'm counsel for the individual petitioners, beginning with Robert Ferguson, but again, I'm also speaking for the other petitioners as well. Your Honor, I'm going to address three issues very, very quickly, and I'm going to assume for the moment that the court does find that there's final agency action as of the secretary. But the first point I'd like to address is this. We sued the president. It's a very unusual thing. We submit that it was proper to sue the president, whether or not we also sued DOE or anybody else, because the president also made a final decision here under the Nuclear Waste Policy Act. And that evidence of that decision is not only in the press release, but in our supplemental appendix, we have the recording of the announcement by his aide.
President, going back to Youngstown Steel, yes, and Tube and before, the general rule has been we do not grant relief against a president if there are subordinate officials against whom relief could run. Are you saying here there is no subordinate official against whom somebody occupying the role of the Secretary of Treasury in Youngstown or the various cabinet officials who have been?
Not based on the facts of this case, Your Honor.
Pardon?
Not based on the facts of this case, and I'll tell you why. If you look at the press announcement that was made on January 29th, and we provided in the record at SJ in the supplemental appendix at 261, the actual tape recording, and here's what was said. A question was asked. I was wondering, what's the reason Yucca Mountain is not an option for this administration, and what scientific reviews were done by the administration to reach that judgment? And here's what the president's representative, his czar, Carol Browner, said on behalf of the president. We work for the president. We take our directions from the president. The president has been clear that Yucca Mountain is not an option now. It's the president who made this decision.
Well, that's the case generally. The buck stops there. Whether you want to use the term unitary executive or not, Youngstown is the classic case on that. Harry Truman was the man who said seize the steel mills. But Secretary of Treasury, I believe it was, anyhow, his cabinet secretary, was the defendant. Why is this different than the ordinary, if there's such a thing as ordinary, than the historic kinds of cases where we as courts in general have withheld our hand from the president in the past?
Because unlike Youngstown Steel, the buck didn't stop at the president. The buck started with the president. He directed the secretary to act. We're not suing him simply because he's his boss. All the evidence that we have is that the president directed this to happen. The president said it's off.
I don't see how that takes this out of the ordinary round of presidential cases, if there's such a thing as ordinary. The president is always the final decision maker for cabinet level officials. If he says no, then it's no. Lyndon Johnson said there, I'll clean it up a little, but Lyndon Johnson said there are elephants and insects on this cabinet, and there's one elephant. You think you've got a lawsuit against the president here as opposed to the functionaries below the president.
And again, Your Honor, the only way I can answer that question is by the facts which indicate the president ordered that secretary to shut down Yucca Mountain.
Again, I've got to say, how's that different than Youngstown or any other presidential authority case? There is a unitary executive, whether we like to use that term or not. It all comes back up to one buckstopper.
I understand that, Your Honor. All we can say is these are what the facts are, and I think it differs in that the president didn't, the government cited no authority for the president to issue that order. Absolutely none. And there have been cases such as Chambers and the Swan cases where the president may be sued, where the president acts ultra vires or in an unconstitutional fashion. And we've argued that he acted ultra vires because he was acting outside any authority he might have under the Nuclear Waste Policy Act, and is acting unconstitutionally under separation of powers, under the separation of powers doctrine, because he doesn't have the authority to change a statute that Congress passed that told the Secretary and he to take certain actions, which he has now basically reversed. Under that statute, he was required to make recommendations as to a site. He made a recommendation as to the site. He's now reversed it. He had no authority to reverse it. And that's him. The president is specifically named in this statute as opposed to other circumstances where it's simply the president's the boss. He's named. He was to make a recommendation. He made a recommendation. And now he's saying, never mind, take it off the table. That's why this case is different and why it's
a different president.
I'm sorry?
It was a different president.
Statute says the president, whoever's serving that office.
I take the point. You were implying that it was one and the same person.
I apologize. I don't mean to apply that. It says the president, whoever the president is obligated to follow the same laws. Beyond that, Your Honor, assuming that this is a final decision for the moment, even if the government is correct that the Nuclear Waste Policy Act somehow gives the Secretary the authority to dismantle this entire process, the decision that was made here is clearly arbitrary and capricious under the Administrative Procedures Act. When that decision was made, it was made according to the Secretary and Carol Browner, because the President told us to do so. In the government's brief, they said, we're making this decision because it's not a workable option. But we submit to you, if you look at the record that they cite, there's nothing there that supports the notion that it's not a workable option, assuming that's even a standard that's recognizable in statute. They say times have changed, but if you look at the record on page 769, for example, they cite to their own brief before the NRC, which cites 1990 technology issues. Yet now they say science has changed. There's no basis for this decision that can be recognized in any statute that wouldn't make it arbitrary and capricious. There's no standard that they can cite to that wouldn't make it arbitrary and capricious.
We're past your allotted time, unless my colleagues have further questions. We'll hear from
Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court, my name is Ellen Durkee. I'm with the U.S. Department of Justice for respondents. The petitions should be dismissed because judicial review in the present posture is neither appropriate nor available. If it were available, then the petition should be not denied on the merits. But this case seems rather simple from our perspective because it's so obviously there is no agency action for this court to review. It's neither.
Well, the NRC never acts. Is there never a remedy? There's a motion pending for NRC. It's been pending quite a while. Suppose it pends 20 years from now. Has there been no remedy in the meantime?
Your Honor, I think this is a very odd posture because the relief that they are seeking from this court, they have already gotten from the licensing board.
It's a pretty direct question,
okay.
Which is, does it ever become final if NRC doesn't act? And I'll add a subpart, which is, by when must they act?
Let's see. It does not become final. Well, okay, if NRC's commission does not overturn the licensing board's denial of the motion, then it does not become final. And if it never acts
to They never get remedy if NRC sits on this motion for the next 20 years. They can't get any remedy?
But they have the remedy from the licensing board. It's DOE that's trying to get a commission review, and that's what's the odd thing to me about why they're pursuing the petitions, because they have gotten their remedy.
The jurisdiction stage now, though. You're blurring over into motions, into merits now. And our question, one of the things that makes it look as if we don't have jurisdiction is that there isn't finality. Now, they're saying NRC, I'm putting words in their mouth, they're not actually saying it, but suppose they say that NRC is never going to act, therefore we can never get the court to review what's gone before. Now, you would say it doesn't matter because then they wouldn't went on the merits anyway, but that's a different question. Right now, we're wanting to know what happens if the NRC never acts. By when does the NRC have to act? What can we do about it if they don't act?
Well, there's no particular deadline for the NRC to act, but I think that if the commission acting is what these folks need in order to get relief, I'll accept that as the premise, then the means to get the commission to act would be to bring a new petition that alleges unreasonable delay, and then they would have to show through the track factors whether there's, you know, been unreasonable delay. And the court, you know, then would evaluate whether it's unreasonable and then could make an order in the context of that petition about whether the commission should act.
But doesn't NRC has actually a deadline under the statute for approving or disapproving this license? And what's happening now is because they have never said whether or not they agree with the board's decision, they never have to go on to their obligation under the statute to actually look at the license.
Your Honor, I think it's the premise that they never have to go on to look at the license is incorrect. The licensing board denied the motion. The license application is pending. The licensing proceeding is going forward. Now, in the past few months, there has not been much activity that DOE has had to do because there is no discovery deadline.
Forward.
Right. Yeah. No, Your Honor, I want to make it clear. NRC
standing in place.
NRC recognizes that when the licensing board has denied their motion, that they must continue to participate in the licensing proceeding, and they are doing so. It's not as though we don't have representatives participating in the proceeding.
If the NRC rejects DOE's effort to withdraw the license, will DOE comply?
If NRC rejects the motion to withdraw,
mm-hmm. What happens next?
Will DOE comply?
Well, I think that we would evaluate whether that could be appealed. And at the same time, we would be sort of in the same position we are, too. I think the DOE and Department of Justice recognize that when you have an order, you comply with that order until you can get it overturned. And, you know, I think it's DOE would be well within its right to see if it could appeal that.
Yeah, if it's not overturned on appeal, will DOE comply?
Yes, they have been clear throughout this process that if they were required in a non-appealable order and subject to funding, that they will comply and go forward with the license application process.
But if that's the case, why wouldn't they wait to see how the issue is resolved before they dismantle all of these units that are working on this? Which they are doing. You submitted an affidavit saying that's exactly what they're doing.
Well, first of all, the office that was closed was working on things that go beyond the licensing application in prior years, and there's really been no argument that they have to build a railroad or do any of those activities under the Nuclear Waste Policy Act at this time. Now, the in terms of licensing support, the DOE was trying to act very responsibly because they understood that there was a proposal to end funding for license approach, and that what they were doing was a very responsible approach to put the documents in a preserved state in the licensing application so that it can be restarted without losing that information because of a sudden close down.
Dismantle government programs just because there's been a proposal to end funding?
Well, I think all
government proposals to end funding.
Oh, all the time. Capitol Hill's full of them right now.
I 2 points. Yes, I think government agencies are prudent to make plans if they know that there's going to be a
plans is different from what's going on here, but anyway.
And the second point that I'd like to make about that is that the Secretary of Energy has non-reviewable discretion to change the organization of his office. Now, to say that the Office of Civil Radiation Waste Management has closed is not to say that, you know, there's no one at the department who can support the license application proceeding. In the closure, it was also specified that the kinds of responsibilities that office had were being moved to other sections within the Department of Energy. And that is, you know, this court does not sit to superintend departments about what they have to call their offices or who they have to staff in particular. I mean, that there's no cause of action for that kind of thing. So, you know, I do just want to reassure the court that if, so I'll say it again, if there's a non-appealable order that the license proceeding must proceed, the DOE will abide, by that requirement and proceed. And DOE will find people to support the licensing proceeding in that. It is not required for those people to be employed under a particular office, and it has its own discretion about how he wants to staff that.
You represent NRC here as well, correct?
Yes.
When do they expect to act?
That I am not privy to, because I'm representing an argument to...
You're not inside counsel, you're outside
counsel. But even with this case coming up, there was no effort to be able to represent to the court by when NRC might act?
Well, I've asked NRC that. The NRC counsel is not in a position to know when the NRC is going to act. I apologize, but... there's nothing more I can say about that. It's a little bit like asking a court when they're going to make a decision. That's something that generally people are not privy to.
Well, you're representing them, though. It's a little different. You're not representing the court. They're your client, at least judging by the brief.
Then I'll just stay with it. I don't know when they're going to act. Your Honors, I think that given the focus today on whether there is a reviewable action, I'm not going to turn to the merits unless the court has specific questions about that. But, I think the court understands a motion to withdraw is not a final agency action. If so, every motion anyone files in a court by the government would be final agency action. Until the NRC makes a decision that is adverse to, that, actually grants the motion to withdraw, we do not see how these people have a final agency action that adversely affects them and how they can seek relief from this court for just the mere filing of that motion.
What if the NRC just doesn't make that decision? I think this question has been asked before, but it seems to me that if by their inaction they have effectively decided, that is to say, they don't go ahead with the license review, can't that be challenged?
Again, I think it can be challenged perhaps by either party of whether there's unreasonable delay if they can show that they're injured by it not deciding. But the licensing board decision is what is the operative decision now. It's DOE that's injured by the decision, but DOE understands there's a process, and far from abandoning the process, we're trying to follow regular administrative review, processes. The other thing I'd like to say is, at this point, I don't think it's been that lengthy a period of time. The commission is a deliberative body. It has to, it would write an opinion ordinarily in this kind of situation. And so, I don't think we're to the point of unreasonable delay. But if it continued and it really did injure some party by not having it, then those parties would have to come to court and bring in an unreasonable delay claim. In the meantime, the licensing proceeding is not abandoned. It is pending. It is ongoing. Now, petitioners may not like how it's going, but that's not something that they, going back to, Congress gave the NRC, an amount of time to decide the license application. We're not anywhere near the end of that time period.
So close.
Well, we are actually near. It's June of this year, isn't it?
No, actually, the three-year period would be up in September. Because it's went from when it's docketed, and there's a mechanism to get additional time in the statute.
Well, let me ask you something slightly different. If the NRC did the same thing while this decision is pending that the DOE has done, what I mean is if they started to remove staff from the review of this license, started to close down units that would be working on the Yucca Mountain licensing application, Would that be the sort of decision which the petitioners here could challenge as inaction that amounts to a final agency action?
Well, I don't know if they have a valid, you know, could put together a valid claim on that score, but I do know this. There is a lot of case law in this court about the incurably premature doctrine. And even so, if they, you know, they filed their petitions back in February and March of last year, all the things that they are alluding to or, you know, criticizing have occurred much later than that. So, the incurably premature doctrine says you can't then sort of be, a claim can't become ripe later. If it becomes ripe later, you can't just add it to your petition. You have to file a new petition. So I think that in terms of whether there would be relief, I really can't speculate because I don't know what action, you know, whether that, you know, it would be considered final agency action or whether it's an order that's, you know, reviewable or whether they could put together an inaction claim. But what I do know is that they would have to bring it in a new petition. And the last comment I'd like to make is there's a lot of reliance on this January 29th press conference, and I just I think the court understands that decisions are implemented through actions, and the action of implementing here was through the motion to dismiss. But I also sort of reacted when he said it was very clear, you know, there was no indication from the press conference that they would be filing a motion to withdraw. This was a press conference announcing the members of the Blue Ribbon Commission. This was the focus of this was not on what would have to be done to terminate Yucca Mount. And they've pulled one, you know, comment by some a staff person out of context of, you know, why did you do this? I mean, other people in the press conference then proceeded, you know, to answer the question and so on. So they're trying to build too much on very, very little.
Well, since you put it out there, it does seem that DOE has made a considered decision not to comply with the law passed by Congress.
No, DOE takes the position that they are complying with the law passed by Congress.
Yeah. Okay. See what NRC says.
Okay, thank you, counsel. Let me give you a minute to decide which one of, how you all want to divide up 3 minutes for rebuttal, okay? You don't want to get back up here, do you?
Your Honors, I'm going to cover 3 points. The first is that I heard counsel say that aspects of the Yucca Mountain project beyond the license application have been dismantled, and that's our point. The NRC process is one subpart of a larger whole. And the decision made on January 29th, which if you go to JA 685, you'll see it's not in the context of spoken press conference comments. It's actually in a release.
But
was
again,
a decision.
Counsel, it's not our habit to consider press releases to be a final agency action.
It may not be your habit, Your Honor.
I cited a case that I am misplacing for the moment where you said that was done, but that's
Specifically, it's the crop life case. And the key thing about crop life was that the EPA announced it was no longer going to use third-party human testing for pesticide issues. The finality didn't depend on EPA then rejecting the next time someone said, you know, we want you to utilize this testing. At that point, there was an unequivocal statement of agency intent that didn't go through APA rulemaking but had the same effect and was challengeable as a final action under the APA. And in this case, we had an unequivocal decision on January 29th, followed by events beginning the next business day, all of which are to execute that decision. The case is in both the opening brief and it's cited by reference back to the opening brief and the reply brief when we said that the respondents hadn't addressed that authority. Your Honor, the broader challenge, and I will note that the Ferguson plaintiffs are not even before the NRC because their beef was crystallized on January 29th. They said at that point, you have made a decision that everything touching the Yucca Mountain project is going to be dismantled, not just licensing process, but everything having to do it, and you are in error of law in that decision. You do not have the legal authority to move forward with anything that would effectuate that decision. That is the key here, and that's exactly what has happened here.
But if the NRC agrees with the board and rejects DOE's motion to withdraw, and has been represented here today, DOE complies, and then there's a final decision soon, within the next few months, or if there's an extension by NRC on the license application, then things will be moving forward as you would have anticipated, even absent the January 29th press statements. In other words, DOE might have been stating an intent, but if, as represented here, they're going to comply with what the NRC says, subject to judicial review, it seems that solves the problem.
But again, within the framework of the NWPA, the NRC's role is limited right now to judging the merits of that license application. And our broader challenge goes beyond the license application. The NRC does not have authority to compel DOE to reconstruct its program or to work on those elements beyond the license application that have now been dismantled and that we maintain were dismantled in error of law.
Yeah, that raises what they're going to do if the NRC rules against them. Mm-hmm. And I think it's unclear, at least as represented today, it sounds like they're going to comply. Now, maybe we have different definitions of comply, or you and the government would have different definitions of comply, but at least that's what was told to us here today.
Your Honors, I know I went into the merits and went their merits position, but I really think the key here, as I see it, and it's incredibly frustrating for us, is that the finality issue is used as a smokescreen when their decision in terms of what they thought their authority was on January 29th was an authority to put the brakes and terminate the entire project.
But how's it a smokescreen when maybe they thought they were the final word, but as it turns out, there's an independent agency that also has a role here, not just the executive agency. And the executive agency has to comply, or at least has said it would comply. And there's been no indication, for example, that the president would direct the NRC what to do.
Again, I would go back to the nature of the decision made on January 29th and the fact that they have taken every action to effectuate that decision. I mean, right now the license application in front of the NRC is in the care of an attorney's name. There's not a single staff person at DOE to actually work on that license application if the NRC revives this proceeding. And the NRC itself has told NRC staff to stop working on that license application.
How do we know that?
The unique thing about this law is that Section 119 gives us the ability to come to this court after a final decision, or action within 180 days.
And it's part of. I think Chief Chantel asked you how.
How do we know that they quit working on that, and what's the significance of us knowing it if we do?
There are several pieces that we put in the supplemental authorities, Your Honor. Some I acknowledge were in press, but others were
in the record.
They are not in the record for purposes of the agency decision. But I believe there's precedence from this court, and I can provide a citation where the court can take notice of those when it comes to issues of whether an agency action has been taken or finality. Specifically, Nebraska v. EPA, 331 F. 3rd, 995, pinpoint is 998, footnote 3. I have some other citations as well. Your Honors, just to summarize, the license application is only one part of this decision. The decision is larger than just the license application, and the decision under the rubric of the CropLive case unquestionably has been made. Under the unique review provision of the NWPA, we are afforded the right to come to this court and challenge that decision within 180 days. That's why we're here. This process is vital to our constituents in Washington, constituents in South Carolina, in Aiken County, and for people situated near indefinitely stored, high-level waste. And what we're seeking here is redress for that, as provided by Congress in the statute. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted. Give us a recess. Thank you.
Here, this is all Anderson.
So this is Anderson.
It's okay.